the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday, May 1st. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Howdy.
Good morning.
Hey. Hi.
Well, good. You had a good weekend?
Did you?
Yeah, I guess good to be expected.
Sometimes the car doesn't start quite right on a Monday morning, right? It's right. Kind of like, so. Just pump the gas a little bit.
And then we're updating. We go.
Well, now that Dave's got us in gear, we're going to move forward. And we're going to begin, as we always do, with an opening prayer. And today happens to be the feast day of St. Joseph the Worker. So we're going to offer up a prayer to him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, creator and ruler of the universe, in every age you call us to use and develop our gifts for the good of others. With St. Joseph as our guide, help us to do the work you have asked and to come to the rewards you have promised. Please grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We will hear more about St. Joseph the Worker later on in today's show. Conveniently, today is International Workers Day, so I thought that was kind of cool how they kind of went hand in hand there. But St. Joseph the Worker, pray for us. He is a good saint to pray to if you are seeking employment, if you are unemployed, if you love your job, don't like your job. He's a good saint to pray for with work. So St. Joseph the Worker, pray for us. We have a wonderful show for you today, starting off with Deacon Ricky Supreme. He's a deacon over at St. John of the Cross in Lacombe, and today we are talking about the upcoming Holy Spirit Novena. In 18 minutes, Lonnie Thibodeau joins us. He is the Director of Media and Public Relations for the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau, and today we will be talking about what you will find in the month of May's Bayou Catholic Magazine. In 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He is the co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday, we talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. So it's always a fun conversation with Alan. Mm. And in 48 minutes, Tyler Rowley joins us. He's a co-editor of the book Life to the Full, True Stories That Reveal the Dignity of Every Human Life. So we'll be talking about that book later on in today's show. But I don't know about you guys. I had a wonderful weekend. The weather was absolutely gorgeous, although it did kind of rain Saturday evening. But other than that, I think the plants needed it. What's it looking like today, Damian?
Well, it's going to be a beautiful day. In fact, it's going to be beautiful for the next 4 days. As I say, simply marvelous.
Marvelous.
Today, plenty of sunshine, and it's going to be that way for the next 4 days. Highs in the mid-80s, lows in the 60s. Northwest breeze blowing right now at about 5 to 10, making it even more comfortable. Clear blue skies, that's what you're going to see, just like yesterday. So get out and enjoy it. Temperatures in and around the area right now. In Houma Thibodeau, as well as in Gulfport, it's 64 degrees. Over in Covington and in Baton Rouge, it's 60 degrees. And in New Orleans, it's 66. So temperatures are pretty basic right now.
Pretty
very
awesome.
Comfortable. And
I can tell you,
just
I
get
spent
out there
the
and
entire
do
day
your thing.
Yesterday.
What did you do?
Out, just spent the whole day yesterday outside, just doing all kind of little stuff, but not much, you know, just kind of, I grilled, of course, that's what I do, you know, but, the weather was just perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just perfect. It felt like climate control out there, didn't it?
There you go. Yeah. It was great. I got to do some yard work myself, didn't do any grilling, though.
Well, you need to get to the program.
I have to pick up your grill book.
I'll show you how.
Exactly. All right, folks, 5 after the hour on this Monday morning. Let's get it going. We've got more coming your way on Wake Up.
Music. good Monday morning to you on this fourth Monday of Easter. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel comes to us from John chapter 10. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine and mine know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down, and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker, for today's gospel. It's 9 past the hour on Wake Up. Our first guest today is Deacon Ricky Suprine. He is a deacon over at St. John of the Cross in Lacombe. And today we are talking about the annual Holy Spirit Novena. Deacon Ricky, I cannot believe it is that time of the year again. Good morning. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. And it does go by fast from year to year. It's incredible.
Yes, it does. Tell us and take us through the wonderful events of the Holy Spirit Novena, because like every year, it's a powerhouse of wonderful guests.
Well, today I'd like to talk about what happened on my birthday, March 10th. I was on Catholic radio that morning and talking about, it was drive time, and about how you guys have helped us get the word out over the years. And so that night I went to the healing mass at St. Jane de Chantel with Father Anthony Odeon from St. Anthony of Padua in Luling, and I was one of the last ones to get prayed over, and he has prayed over for me before, but he's never said anything like this before. He said, "Brother, let God take you to another level." And I was slain in the spirit, and it seemed like a great message, and I thought it was just for me on my birthday. Well, on Sunday morning at 10:30 Mass, I was sitting in the second pew with my son, and during consecration and communion prayers and during receiving communion, God started to pour out to me what Father Anthony had said to me. He used him to tell me to take the Holy Spirit Novena to another level. And it just started rushing through my mind and heart. Wilmer, Kentucky, at Asbury Seminary and College, where they had this spontaneous 3 weeks of praise and worship of God. Holy Cross Catholic Church in Bronx, New York, on Ash Wednesday night, they started having praise and worship, and it lasted for 3 weeks. And how he wants us to make this outward sign, this step towards him, surrendering to him, asking him for his divine intervention. If we have problems in our lives, in our country, in our church, in the world, we have to go to him. And he wants this outward sign, something beyond the obligation of going to Sunday Mass, to go to him and ask for his divine intervention. And he started pouring all this out during Mass. And my son said, after it was all over with, he said, "I thought you was having a heart attack." It was that powerful. And we have a thing called good news at Mass. And I was compelled. I felt like my body was about to explode. And I was compelled to go up to the ambo and tell the people at St. John of the Cross what God had just revealed. And it has been the most enthusiasm, the most excitement. Things have been happening like never before in the build-up towards the Holy Spirit Novena. And so I thank you so much for letting me get on today. When I come back in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about who's going to be there. But that is almost secondary now compared to what God is calling every one of us to do, everyone in the listening audience, up and down the Gulf Coast, all around New Orleans. He wants as many people as possible for this outward sign to take place. And in fact, we're anticipating large crowds because of what God has revealed. We're setting up tents outside of church. We're going to have, obviously, inside of church set up beautifully. But we just can't wait to see what God is going to do if we obey his wishes and come out in force in this nine-day, nine-night event.
Deacon Riggy, we certainly need something like this now more than ever. There is so much pain a lot of us have been experiencing within the last few months, even over the weekend, just tragedy in a lot of places that have been close to many of us. We need something like this. We need to turn to Christ. We need to follow his will. We need to find his peace now more than ever. I really do, and we say that all the time. I don't know what's going on.
Like every year we say the same thing, but it's now more than ever, because this is the first time we've had God so powerfully tell us what he wants of us. And as this stuff was rushing through, I mean, it was just incredible what was going on. And we've always had miracles. We've always had conversions. We've always had healings through the Holy Spirit and novena. Sometimes I don't hear about him until years later. But he promises miracles like never before, healings like never before, conversions like never before. He just laid it all out, and it made all the sense in the world what he said to me through Father Anthony on Friday night. All of a sudden, it all made sense. You know, brother, let God take you to another level. It wasn't me at all. It was let God take all of us to another level. Just turn to him and surrender to him.
Deacon Riggy, we only have about a minute left. The dates for the Holy Spirit Novena, for those who might not be able to catch the next interview, where can we go to find out information, and when is it?
Okay, it's May 19th, starts at 6:15 p.m. May 19th with praise and worship, adoration, which will be a new feature, confession, prayer teams. Father Sidney Speaks will be there for the opening night. It runs through May 27th. Father Anthony will be there on May 26th, having a healing mass at the Holy Spirit Novena. But we're hoping that first night everybody comes out, the momentum continues to build. We have in a coffee shop afterwards for people to go and get together and be set on fire and to share what they're learning about God and his love and mercy and generosity. But if you go to St. John of the Cross, lacombe.org, you can see the whole schedule. And it's in so many bulletins throughout the Archdiocese. We got posters set up different places. And, of course, I'm almost positive Catholic Community Media's got it set up there. The Clarion Herald's got it set up. I mean, we have never had this kind of outpouring before. Everybody seems to understand just what you said. We need this more than ever. And everybody, every priest, everybody we've talked to is just going overboard to try to promote it this year.
I absolutely love that. Deacon Riggy Supreme, deacon over at St. John of the Cross in Lacombe. We will talk to you again in a couple of weeks to learn a little bit more about this. But right, CC Media is a place where you can go and check this event out as well. Thank you so much, Deacon Riggy, for being with us.
I could never thank you enough, Gabby, and the whole gang over at Catholic Community Media. Thank you all so much.
Well, we are grateful for your support as well. Lonnie Thibodeau joins us when we return from the break. It is 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 1st. Today we celebrate St. Joseph the Worker. The Feast of St. Joseph, husband and Mary and foster father of Jesus, is observed on March 19th. Today we celebrate the man who spent hours at his workbench. It was during the Cold War that Pope Pius XII introduced today's feast. Designed to counterbalance a May 1st communist holiday honoring workers, today's feast reminds us that Joseph used his skill as a carpenter to provide for his family's needs and passed along those same skills to his son, Jesus. We, too, find our dignity in similar ways, in our work, in raising a family, in participating in the life of God's creation. As Pope Pius said when he established today's feast, "The Spirit flows from the heart of the Savior of the world, but certainly no worker was ever more completely and profoundly penetrated by it than the foster father of Jesus, who lived with him in closest intimacy and community of family life and work. If you wish to be close to Christ," the Holy Father continued, "go to Joseph. Whatever our work, we are called to bear fruit with our hands and our minds, ultimately for the building up of the body of Christ." There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Eighteen past the hour on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson along with Gabby Smith. and Damian Collado. And right now we've got Lonnie Thibodeau, Director of Media and Public Relations for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau. Morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, David. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And things are starting to liven up down there now that you got a new shepherd. And I'm hearing great things. But then at the same time, you have your previous editor, I guess retired editor, Lawrence Chartier with the Bayou Catholic. Has he retired or is he retiring? What's y'all doing there?
He has retired. He left us about three weeks ago, David. He spent 36 years with the diocese, originally working for Catholic Charities and our food banks, but after a few years became a photographer and later the editor of the Bayou Catholic. So 36 total years with the Bayou Catholic.
Wow.
And in the current issue of the magazine, on page 7, at the very bottom right of page 7 is a great picture where we have the three editors of the Bayou Catholic in its 40-year history: Louis Aguirre, Lawrence Chartier, and of course the new editor, Janet Marcel. So it's a great shot to see the three of them together. And these were pictures that were taken at Lawrence's little going away party we threw for him about a month ago. And so Lawrence is a great, great friend of mine for many decades, and I already miss him greatly, not to see him here in the office every day. But Lawrence did a great job for our diocese and for the Bayou Catholic.
I can tell you personally that the Bayou Catholic's beautiful. I mean, it's the magazine format is just incredible. I remember the first time I saw one. It's like this is amazing with the beautiful pictures and the articles all through it, and it easy to read. Was Lawrence part of that, or was it always that way?
No, it was incredibly enough a weekly newspaper back. You go back only. I was the original high school football columnist 40 years ago, right after the magazine. Of course, years before I knew I'd actually be working for the diocese. But yeah, it was a weekly newspaper back then, David. And probably 13, 14 years ago, it went to the monthly magazine concept. Okay. So it was Lawrence's predecessor, Louis Aguirre, who actually got it started going that way. But during, you know, Lawrence's entire time as editor, he had only a monthly magazine. It's only been that way the whole time that Lawrence was our general manager and editor.
Well, they're doing an amazing job. I do enjoy reading that, the Bayou Catholic. So, speaking of the Bayou Catholic, Bishop Dorsonville's his first column, a letter to the folks is in it this time?
Yeah, well, we've always done that for four decades of the Bayou Catholic. We always have a monthly column from our bishop. For the last year, it was a monthly column from our diocesan administrator waiting to get a bishop. Mm-hmm. So this month, page 8 in the magazine, David, is the first column from our new bishop, Mario Dorsonville. And then, you know, probably the biggest thing was, what are we going to call the column?
Yes.
And ultimately, he decided on Sent to Serve. It's very simple.
Sent to serve.
And, and what his column is basically about this month, as you might imagine, as we begin the Easter season, is, you know, let's let Mary's yes inspire all of us to follow God's call in our lives, you know.
Yeah.
And he also talks about, you know, being a small child growing up in Colombia and his strong devotion, him and his family, to Mary as he was growing up, and the importance of praying the rosary daily with his mom and dad. Again, he was an only child. Him and his mom and dad. And a good little story talking about him. You know, we're learning more about him.
Yeah.
In fact, that strong devotion to Mary was a big thing in his household when he was young.
Okay, great. So you're getting a little background of the bishop as well, then. That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. And then, speaking of Bishop Dorsonville, they've got the transcript of the homily in there from the Chrism Mass.
Yeah, you know what? You know, the Chrism Mass, again, on Holy Thursday, traditionally, and I know different dioceses do it on different days usually within the Holy Week, but we always do ours here in Houma-Thibodeau on Holy Thursday morning. And what we did is, this is something we traditionally do. We print the entire transcript, if you will, of his homily. So, again, his motto basically being in his coat of arms is, a priest forever. And we know that line, a priest forever. forever in the line of Melchizedek, but that's his actual Episcopal motto, a priest forever, and that's a big part of his homily. So you can read it on page 24 in the magazine this month.
And it's a big part of the Chrism Bass because they're pretty much rededicating themselves. Then you have a guest column from a retired priest, Father Mike Bergen. Am I saying it right? Bergen?
Yeah, right. Actually, okay. Father Mike Bergeron, right.
Bergeron.
Father Mike has always been, right. Okay. Father Mike has always been just one of our best homilists. Okay. He just is.
Really?
Great, great guy. Tremendous, huge personality. And what his guest column is about is just kind of, you know, acknowledging or the rosary, acknowledging Mary's role in our redemption, and he kind of does a couple things. One is he talks about, you know, May, of course, being the month of Mary, mm-hmm. and talking about, you know, the history of the rosary. I've got to tell you, for those of you who are big fans like me who pray that rosary every day, this is one of the best articles maybe I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, really?
That does such a great job of giving the history of the rosary. I mean, going all the way back. And some things are disputed. Did it really start in this year by this person, or did it really start in this year, and why do we have the beads? And, you know, it's a great, great article on page 29 of the magazine by Father Mike, just talking basically about the history of the rosary.
I think we're going to have to pull it up here because just last week we were talking about the history of the rosary. Right after we were saying the rosary, we were having the discussion about the rosary itself.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna have to look that one up. So Father Mike Bergeron.
Yeah, it's a good article. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Great. We'll look that up. Okay. And then tell me, what is Colonel Catholics at Nichols State? What is that?
Yeah, well, Nichols State, of course, in Thibodaux, the major university that, of course, sits here in the diocese, the home of Thibodaux, their Newman Ministry, and, of course, as it's known in many college campuses around the country, the Newman Ministry, their Newman Ministry is called the Colonel Catholics.
Okay.
And it's been around for quite a number of years, and Monique Alvarado does a great job of this story, of writing the story on page 35, where she kind of gives you, again, the history of when did it start at Nichols State University, and then she goes into a little more detail by following two specific Nichols students, Megan Nevlude and Grant Dupati, and just talking about how is it that they came to be involved with that particular ministry at Nichols State. It's a really, really good background story and a great history as well of that ministry at Nichols State.
Well, I can tell you, I know something powerful is going on there. I can attest, though, that on campus, that has to be one of the most beautiful adoration chapels I have ever been in. Have you been in there, Lonnie?
Yes. I mean, Dave, that thing is beautiful. I mean, Father Mitt Seymour, who's now our director of vocations and seminarians, was the pastor there about 3 years ago when they raised the funds to build that Adoration Chapel. But, oh, absolutely. Anybody within earshot of us right now, David, if you're ever in Thibodaux on the Nichols or nearby the Nichols State campus, you need to go see that Adoration Chapel at St. Thomas Aquinas. It is spectacular.
It's
beautiful.
It's easy to access. When you walk in, the artwork is just beautiful, and it's very conducive for adoration and very peaceful. One of the most peaceful, beautiful ones I'd ever been in. So Lonnie, your favorite article in all of this. What do you like the best in this?
I tell you what, incredibly enough, and I'll go simple, going back to Bishop Dawson Veal's first column.
Okay.
You know, just because it's kind of history in a sense. You know, we hope he's here with us for a long, long, long time, and that's his very first column, and he's talking about, hey, we're Easter people. We're about joy, and that's kind of, you know, in our DNA as per God, and you know, and he just kind of talks about that. You know, isn't it weird sometimes, David, maybe it's our culture, that some people, especially around here, seem almost to have more of an affinity with Lent.
Yeah,
we want to eat meat on Friday. We want to give up things or whatever. Yet, what we're made for is this season. This is the season.
We are made for Easter, right?
That we were made for. Yet, there's something about almsgiving and prayer and all that, which is wonderful.
I mean, it's good. I mean, fasting is always good, and you're absolutely right. Giving to the poor, but. Is it guilt that's keeping us from celebrating so much? What?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know, Dave. You know, maybe it's just the Cajun weighing of us. We ate too much crawfish, which I did this weekend. But oh well, you know. So I don't know. But I think that's a great story. Again, we love Bishop Dawson Veal already, and he's doing a great, great job. And I love his first column, page 8 in the magazine. Oh, and I'll tell you real quick, because I know we got to run in just a minute. For those who want to see the new issue of the magazine, it's online on our either Bayou hdcatholic.org and just click on latest issue, or hdiocese.org and just click on the Bayou Catholic box, and either way you'll get to the latest issue.
And I will. I'm looking forward to Father Bergeron's article as well. So,
sure. Yeah.
Lonnie, thank you once again for joining us, and looking forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, my good friend. Great talking to you, Dave.
Take care. God bless.
Okay.
It's an amazing publication.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it really is. An award-winning
right?
publication.
Oh, I can see why.
Yeah.
I can see why. In fact, my favorite one, I'll never forget when I saw a stack of them there. I was at the Archdiocese, and they had a stack of them, and it was an outdoor one. It was like one side of it was talking about all the parishes and everything, but if you flipped it over,
yeah,
it was all the outdoor stuff, fishing and
really?
Hunting and everything. Oh, it was
in that
great.
Home of Thibodeau area, there's a lot of that.
Yes.
So.
And, yeah. of course, you know me, they had recipes in there, too, so it's like, it's a... Yeah. It's
Did you take more than
one? It's really nice.
I didn't take it. I was...
you didn't even take an issue?
No, I would have been stealing an issue from a, you know, from a... From
Take
a home of Thibodeau Diocese. I guess I could have, huh?
Yes.
It was that pretty. So I thought I had to pay for
you
it.
Don't
you
don't have to be a parishioner to pick up a copy.
Yeah, I know.
I get mine in the mail.
Do you
and
really?
I don't even live in the Diocese of home of Thibodeau.
Well,
it's a beautiful publication.
It was that fancy looking. I thought I was going to be taking something.
Yeah.
You know,
David, Dave is so honest that he doesn't even pick up a copy of...
I will. I will now.
Pick up a copy next time.
Leave it for someone else. That's okay.
When we come back.
The Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
When we come back, David's going to be interviewing Alan Migliorato on Wake Up.
After the hour on this pleasant Monday morning. Thank you for joining us on Wake Up and also on Catholic Life TV. We're so glad you could join us. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, and the one and only Alan Migliorato. He is co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And he is here to talk about gender confusion. Boy, is that a hot topic.
Boy, huh?
Gender confusion among teens, and what can parents do to help? Alan, good morning, and let her rip, baby.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. God bless you all. Yeah, this is one of those topics that a lot of people really just don't like to talk about. You know, it gives you the ick, you know, as the teens say. It just kind of rubs you the wrong way, and nobody knows how to approach it. And it's not that we need to have an answer, but we need to know how to talk about it. And I think that's where the struggle comes in for parents and really catechists and pastors. And you know, we need to keep impressing upon our teens that they are children of God and that is their identity. But the world tells our teenagers to find other identities. And then what happens is that sin becomes our identity. And I heard my pastor said something yesterday that I thought was brilliant. He said, you know, the devil knows you by name but calls you by your sin. Mm. Jesus knows your sin but calls you by your name.
Wow.
And I thought
like
that was such a beautiful thing to say is, you know, that we are called to be children of God. But that confusion comes in where we start accepting things that our kids say, well, I don't feel like a girl or I don't feel like a boy. And say, well, why don't you feel like that? And if you think back to, like, I mean, even 20 years ago or 10 years ago, there were tomboys, you know, tomboys.
There
were girls who don't like to wear dresses, who just like to play in the mud and play with, you know, play baseball, and there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make them a boy. And right now, we're starting to accept labels as truth. And it's almost like relative morality and relative truth. There's no such thing as relative truth. There is truth, and then there is what we'd like to accept as truth. But no matter how much we want to change the fact that we were born either male or female, we were born either male or female. And the struggle comes then is to find how do we make that identity that we were given by God fit into God's will in our lives. And and we stop searching for that struggle, you know. And as parents, sometimes I see parents kind of throw their hands up and say, I just want my kid to be happy. Well, that's a horrible thing to do. And I mean that in the most loving way, but when we only want what's happy for our kids, happiness is based on what's happening. So if it's raining, you're sad, you're not happy. If it's, you know, if you don't get to go to the baseball game you wanted to watch, you're not happy. And so then we do whatever we can to make that happiness happen, but it's not joy, and it's not eternal, and it's not long-lasting, because it changes with the wind. And that's what we're seeing our kids struggle with today. But without a doubt, I know I've talked without breathing here, but without a doubt, every pastor, every youth minister, every parish I've been to has somebody struggling with gender identity confusion. And I refuse to call it gender dysphoria, because it's not necessarily a gender dysphoria issue in 99% of the teens that we're seeing that are saying, well, I don't feel like a boy, so I'm changing my name to Bailey or to Devin or to Pat or to whatever like gender neutral name it sounds like, because they don't want to face the fact that they're struggling with something. They don't know how to struggle through it, and parents don't know how to walk with their teens through these struggles.
Why is it so evident today where 40, 50 years ago, I know when I was growing up, like you said, there were tomboys. Heck, I played Barbie dolls with my sisters. I mean, I was Ken, but I played dolls and didn't last very long. But, I mean, I went through a phase. But I never wanted to necessarily wear a dress and heels and all that other kind of stuff, put on lipstick. But I think as a child growing up and even early teens, these thoughts are going to enter your mind. But then you phase through it and you move on. There's theories out there as well. So what changed, I guess, Alan, in over the years to where when you think that way, you've got to go that way? You know what I'm getting at? Versus, because the key is a good conversation, and if nothing else, a good therapist.
So, yeah, it really takes, and a good therapist is the key word, because there are a lot of therapists who tell you, you know, you need to set boundaries, and you need to, and they use these words like,
I was a little hesitant to say that, but a good Catholic therapist, thank you, okay.
Yeah. Right. Somebody who's going to guide, like a spiritual director would be a great place to start, and let that spiritual director recommend a Catholic therapist. And it's not like, you know, I hear people say, oh, you're going to pray the gay away, or you're going to pray the sin away. Well, we are going to pray, and if you're going to, you know, you can look down your nose at it, you can roll your eyes at it, but we're going to pray that God's will is done. And whatever God's will is, we're going to make sure we keep discerning that. But I think what happens is today, we have society telling us that things are okay, that our faith tells us we need to struggle through and really work on. And it really comes down to years ago, and this is such a long topic, we may want to do more than one interview on it, but I just recently wrote a book on this, and I'm struggling to get it published, believe it or not.
Really?
A lot of the times, yeah, because it's such a controversial topic, and because I'm not a doctor, I'm not, a psychologist. My perspective is of youth ministry perspective and what I see in the trenches. So it's not even, you know, here's a medical way to fix this. This is a matter of how do we talk about God's will, and how do we battle what society tells us is right when we know it's not?
Yeah.
And how do parents deal with that? I know a lot of parents who just go along with it, you know?
Well,
in the book that I wrote, it's. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say we got 2 minutes, so I want to make sure you do at least touch on what advice can you give to parents for someone whose teen is suddenly experiencing this confusion.
Well, there's so much that you have to take into consideration. Who are they hanging around? What have you done up to this point to help solidify them and give them fortitude as a child of God? You know, do you talk to them about this? Do you ask questions like, why do you feel this way? Why do you feel that this is the right thing? You know, who told you this? It's like you go back to Genesis and God says, who told you were naked?
Right.
You know, well, who told you that this is who you are? When I failed as a parent maybe, and I didn't tell you who you were. And God, you are a child of God, and you are made in His image. And that's what we need to start focusing on is, we are created male and female for a reason, and what's our purpose, even if we struggle through it. But just keep that dialogue open as parents, and don't be afraid to say, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't agree with this choice that you're trying to make. I love you, but I can't agree with this choice that you're making, and please don't take it that I don't love you, but we're going to work through this together, and we're going to see if we can get you some counseling.
Yeah. In the final minute, what are you seeing in the trenches? Are they really that confused? And what is the percentage, I guess, is, you know, because we hear a lot about this, but then you hear say, oh, it's such a minority that why are we addressing it and making a big deal about it? But is it a minority?
It's not a minority. So it's a minority maybe with the kids who are actually making a hard stand on it, but with the supporters that they have, it bleeds into the infiltrates the minds of all those around them, making them think that this is okay. And we're going to see it more and more, like with the up and coming teens, like the middle school teens, we're starting to see it there, even a little bit before that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing is there used to be like maybe one or two in each school. Now there's maybe one or two in each class, and now there's going to be, you know, classes of these kids that are confused about their gender coming through. And I really feel like maybe we could even do more talking on this if you feel like it, or sure. If it's, you know,
we will.
If it's something that you feel is important. But it's coming up, and we got to start hitting it, you know, head on.
Yeah. What's the name of the book, by the way, that you're working on getting published, if you do get published?
It's called If the Shoe Fits, Gender Identity Crisis in Teens.
Okay, very
and
good.
I can tell you why I named it that, maybe, if we talk about this again sometime.
We're going to save that. That's a good tease. Yeah. We'll save that for the next time, because you'll be back next week, like you always are. In the meantime, where do they go if they want to learn more about what it is you do regarding teens?
You can reach me at AdventureCatholic.com or on Facebook. You can look up Adventure Catholic, and I'm right there.
All right, Alan Migliorato, thank you for being with us. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Have a good one. We've got more coming your way on Wake Up, so stick around.
Wake Up, you're tuning your heart to the truth this morning. Tyler Rowley now joins us. He is the co-editor of the book Life to the Full, True Stories That Reveal the Dignity of Every Human Life. Good morning, Tyler. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Thanks for having me.
I think this book is so timely. You know, over the weekend in a lot of our communities, we have been experiencing unexpected loss and tragedy. We've been seeing it across our country as well. And we ask ourselves, where does it end? And where does this start? I mean, what is going on? You know, is human life, what is it even worth? You know, and of course, as Catholics, we know that, especially the pro-life community. And talk about your book, Life to the Full, because you really dive deeper into this topic of the true meaning of respecting the beauty of life.
Yeah, but well said, because violence begins in the womb. You know, we see police mm-hmm. officers out on the sidewalk all the time, and we talk about that with them because they're seeing, you know, violence towards them and just increased violence in young people and gangs, and just the streets are getting worse. And, you know, we tell them outside Planned Parenthood, here's where it starts. This is 50 years of teaching a citizenry that it's okay to kill people if you don't want them in your life, if you don't want them around, if they're inconvenient, if they bother you. You can get rid of them. You can kill them. You know, it's all about you. It's not about sacrifice. It's about, you know, other people having to be sacrificed for you. So your initial point there is well taken and very true. And the book is, it tries to get to the heart of exactly that by presenting real stories, real people, real mothers, fathers, nurses, doctors, and the children that are affected by abortion, or that were, you know, given the gift of life in light of, you know, a potential abortion decision. So I approached Abby Johnson with this idea. I knew she would have a ton of connections into this world, women that she's dealt with through her agencies, and we both kind of brought together. She brought about 10, and I brought about 10 of these amazing stories, and we just let the people tell them, and they're powerful. And you know, the psychologists say that stories are 22 times more likely to stick in someone's memory than just, you know, mm-hmm. stating facts. Now, the facts are certainly on our side, the biology, the science, all that stuff. But there's nothing like, you know, a story of a woman who's been there and who can just tell, who can sort of get at the heart that abortion is always wrong through a lived experience.
You know, Abby says just that. She says, quote, "This is the book I want supporters of legal abortion to read. Page after page will reveal the certainty that it is never okay to kill an innocent human being, and that in order for our nation to know peace, there must be peace in the womb." Tyler, abortion is a topic that has been in the secular media for I don't know how long. I've been hearing it since I was a child, hearing it louder and louder as I get older, especially with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. How important is it? Because sometimes we feel like we're alone. We feel like the media is one side and we're by ourselves. How important is it to stick together and know that life begins in the womb and that we must protect the innocent human life? And that's exactly what we believe as Catholics.
Yeah, we can't get what I call abortion fatigue, which I feel like some Catholics get, you know, that we've been fighting for it for so long. And, you know, isn't it sort of time just to make peace with this? And we can't feel that way, because there's still, even in the light of Roe being overturned, I mean, the fight's not just go to the states. You know, we're going to see, exactly. You know, hopefully the number of abortions drops. Since Roe, but we'll have to see, you know. But we know that abortions are still happening. I'm in Rhode Island. Abortions are still happening just as they were before the Dobbs decision. And in sticking together, that made me think. I start the book off with a story of Bernard Nathanson. And Bernard Nathanson is the grandfather of the abortion movement in the United States. He created the Catholic strategy to shame the Catholic Church, to shame Catholics, to getting abortion passed. And He became pro-life after the ultrasound technology was created. He couldn't do abortions anymore once he saw the vivid child on the ultrasound machine. But then it took another 10 years for him to become Catholic. And he said the thing that made him Catholic was seeing all of the Christians on the sidewalk sticking together, singing, and doing this all for a constituency that really could never even thank them. So we have to. We have to remember the witness of being pro-life isn't just about saving the life of the child, but it saves souls. It brings people to Christ when they see such a fervent love for people who can't even thank them. So we just have to, you know, the Catholic Church has been great. We've led the world on this issue, and we have to just keep at it. So this is kind of like what I say. It's a little breath of fresh oxygen into the pro-life movement, which has been so great for so many years. But, you know, we need that little extra oxygen not to get fatigued.
Definitely. And with an election coming up next year, it's only going to get louder and louder like it does every time. But how did you get together with Abby Johnson, one of the most vocal pro-life activists of our time?
So my first book with Ignatius Press is called Because of Our Fathers, and that's 23 Catholics tell how their fathers led them to Christ. And she was a contributor to that. So if you remember from the Unplanned movie, her dad was, you know, just seemed like a good guy who sort of prayed her out of that situation. And he was, that's exactly what he was. And she shares that story of her father in the Because of Our Fathers book. So I got to know her, and I also brought her to Providence to give a talk. So I'd known her through a couple different things, and I had her cell phone, and I called her up, and I said, you know, do you want to do this? Collaborate on this project? And she loved it. It was right up her alley, because she's always said that the stories of former, you know, abortion workers, the stories of women who've come out of, whether they've had the abortion or not, but they've come out to tell the story of how awful it is inside that building, those are the people that Planned Parenthood fears the most. So I knew it was right up her alley, and it was. And she said, "Yeah, let's do it. We'll put together the 20 most powerful, awesome stories that we possibly can." And that's what this book. Every single one, they're 5 pages each, and you'll finish it, and you'll just say, "Wow, that was incredible." It'll make you convicted in your faith and your pro-life stance even more.
How did you come up with these stories? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and like Abby said, it's the book you want. You have a family member who's pro-choice. This is the book. If you can get them to read something, or if they're on the fence, this is the book you want to get them to read. It'll change their heart. And we sort of subdivided, you know, different topics. You know, like, let's get some fathers' perspectives on this. Let's get a woman whose life was in danger. The first story is Erica Tremblay. She died because she refused to get cancer treatment for her breast cancer, and she gave birth to her daughter, and her brother tells that story. women who were raped, women who were trafficked, and the decisions that they had to go through, and just the joy that their, you know, that their child brings them in every situation. We have miracle stories of literal Catholic miracles. Daniel Shackle's child was the miracle that led to Father McGivney's canonization.
Wow.
Former abortionist.
These are amazing stories, Tyler. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but Tyler Rowley is a co-editor of the book Life to the Full, two stories that reveal the dignity of every human life. You can go to Ignatius.com to find out more details about this book and pick up your copy. Tyler, thank you so much for being with us today.
God bless you guys.
All right. Well, I think the theme of today's show is all about life and love and joining together to focus on Christ. So.
Amen to that. And, Amen. Of course, to do God's work. And we're going to wrap up with a prayer. St. Joseph the Worker. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Joseph, by the work of your hands and the sweat of your brow, you supported Jesus and Mary and had the Son of God as your fellow worker. Teach me to work as you did, with patience and perseverance, for God and for those whom God has given me to support. Teach me to see in my fellow workers the Christ who desires to be in them, that I may always be charitable toward them. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.